Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Well, last week we took an imaginary trip collectively down the river. Remember that? You know, we're in the summer. We're just thinking of fun things to do in the summer. And so this Sunday I was thinking, wouldn't it be fun if we just went to an amusement park, you know, and ride some rides? Dustin and Courtney moved this week to Florida, and already they've been to Disney World. I mean, I'm a little jealous. But yeah, let's go on a roller coaster ride. When's the last time you've been on a roller coaster? The big ones today are too scary for me. The anticipation of making that climb to the very top and then all the way down and the twists and turns, it's crazy. At my age now, my thrill ride is just going through the car wash. That's my thrill ride. But, you know, as we read through the Psalms are like a roller coaster ride. You know, one minute we're praising God with our inmost being, and the next minute we're begging Him not to treat us as our sins deserve, right? And so we're in this series that I'm calling Summer in the Psalms. I want to spend the next however many weeks in the summer just spending time in the Psalms, reflecting on the Psalms. The Psalms is the largest book in the Bible. It's a collection of books. It's given God's people strength and guidance. I talked about last week how there are seven types of genres or typologies that make up the Psalms. There are lament psalms, there are pilgrimage psalms, there are the royal psalms, there are the wisdom psalms, there are the imprecatory psalms. Last week I talked about the enthronement psalms, the praise psalms. And today we're going to talk about the thanksgiving psalms. And so last week we talked about the praise psalms, how we are to give God praise because He is worthy of praise. Last night around 10:30 I went outside to go throw something in the garbage, and I looked up in the sky and I saw the moon. Did you see the moon last night? Absolutely incredible. And I just stood there and I just gazed at it. Full, bright, just so beautifully hanging in the sky. And all I could do was just praise God for His majestic, creative handiwork. However creative and intuitive we humans are, we can't come close to replicating God's creative handiwork and just looking up into the sky and praising Him for the amazing celestial bodies. You know, the last 2 weeks we've had billionaires just kind of go up into space. Why this interest in this space? Because it's a mystery. And there are numerous untold galaxies, and it's all God's creative handiwork. And then you think of how He sustains life here on this unique planet. It is absolutely remarkable when you study astronomy and cosmology. And so God is worthy of our praise. There is no one like Him. He cannot be compared to any other God or any other person. And so we talked about the praise psalms last Sunday. Today we're going to talk about the thanksgiving psalms. Praise and thanksgiving go together. You can't have one without the other. They're two sides of the same coin. They're kind of like, you finish the phrase for me, peanut butter and jelly, ham and cheese, milk and cookies. I don't know what you guys are snacking on late at night. Salt and pepper, coffee and tea or cream, spaghetti and meatballs. All these things that are paired together. Well, you have praise and thanksgiving. They go hand in hand. I was reminded again Wednesday night as we had our prayer group right out here in this little grassy area. By the way, if you're not doing anything on Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 7:30, we keep it to an hour. In the summer, we just meet right out here in this little grassy area. It's shaded. It's nice and cool. But I was reminded again why I love coming on Wednesday nights because I'm surrounded by praise people. That's what we do, is we get together and we praise God and we thank God for His many blessings. And I need to be around my praise people, because if I hang around a group of, say, cynical people, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to become cynical. If I hang around a group of people who are bitter, I'm going to become bitter. You get what I'm saying? You become who you hang around. And I want to be a person of praise and thanksgiving. And that's why I love coming on Wednesday nights and Sunday morning, because I get to hang out with people who focus our attention on God and give Him praise and thanksgiving. So today we're going to look at a couple of the Thanksgiving Psalms. And actually, the Thanksgiving Psalms seem to take up a great portion of the 150 Psalms in the Bible. The Psalms, back in ancient times and even in the first century church time, served as what the hymnals are for us today. You know, these hymnals that we hardly ever use anymore, or churches hardly ever use anymore, that are filled with songs and readings. Well, that's what the Psalms were. They were a guide for worship for the ancient people and for the early church that led God's people into praise and thanksgiving. And so I want us to look at a couple of Thanksgiving Psalms that lead us into thanking God and continued praise. And so turn to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. And the purpose is just to meditate on God's Word, let God's Word speak for itself. And as we meditate on a couple of these Thanksgiving Psalms, let's just give God thanks. Not only for who He is, but for what He has done, what He is doing, and what He has promised that He would continue to do and bring to pass. Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. Is that not what we have done this morning? We have gathered for the sole purpose to praise God. Regardless of what you're going through in your life, regardless of what you're dealing with, regardless of the aches and pains that your body may be experiencing, regardless of a frustrating situation that you're dealing with, we gather on Sunday morning to praise God, who will see us through every struggle of life. Amen? And it's good to make music to your name, O Most High. I'm not just saying this because Renee's back, but worship team sounded great today. Especially great. The way you guys harmonize and the way you guys put your musical gifts to work. We miss Connie, and we miss Jim, and we miss Dustin. But thank you for leading our time of worship with music. It's scriptural. It's biblical. And it's good for our soul. Verse 2, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. One of the things the Psalms do is help us pray. So when you get up in the morning and you don't know what to say to God, just go to His Word. And it says we are to proclaim His love in the morning. So tomorrow morning when you get up, it's as simple as saying, God, thank you for loving me. God, you know everything about me. You know all my secrets. You know all my faults. You know my shortcomings. And yet, you continue to love me. God, thank you for your great love. And then, at night, what do the Scriptures tell us to do? To proclaim His faithfulness at night. So I don't know if you're in the habit of praying when you go to bed at night. But if you're not, try what the Scriptures say. And just take some time and say, God, thank you for being faithful in my life and in the life of my family yet again today. You provided what I needed. You helped me through that situation. Thank you, God, for being faithful. So allow the Scriptures to be your guide, a prayer guide. Verse 3. To the music of the ten-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. Verse 4, Psalm 92. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. Verse 8, but you, O God, are exalted forever. For surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and in him no wickedness is found." Amen? Hold on to God. He is your rock. Well-meaning people in your life will try to be there for you, but they will let you down. Your church family will let you down only because we're human. You may live with great next-door neighbors on either side of you like I do, but they're just human and they will let me down. But God is a rock who will never let you down, ever. And so if you're having trouble thanking God for something, just say, God, thank you for being that solid, firm foundation in my life that I have depended upon even when I didn't recognize you were there. Thank you, God, for being so good to me. Let's look at another psalm, Psalm 100, just a few chapters over. Psalm 100, Psalms of Thanksgiving. Be thinking of what you're thankful for this morning. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. If you ever find yourself feeling down this week or next week, remember in your mind, 100, Psalm 100. And just turn to Psalm 100 and let God's word just speak over you his word of praise and thanksgiving. And it will change your disposition. It will change your heart. It will help you to refocus not on what your despair is, but on who God is. Amen? Just remember 100. Psalm 100. The house that I grew up in was 100 Garland Drive, so it's easy for me to remember. 100. Easy. Psalm 100. If you're having a hard time thanking God, just turn to Psalm 100, and God's word faithfully directs us to the God to whom all praise is due. Turn a couple chapters over to Psalm 111, and there's so many. I mean, I had a hard time just narrowing it down, and I may just add a few more. But Psalm 111, let's meditate on God's word this morning, these wonderful Thanksgiving Psalms. Psalm 111, praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. in the council of the upright and in the assembly. That's where we're at today. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Gracious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Oh, remember that, friends. God is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. Amen. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Oh, these psalms of praise and thanksgiving, beautiful, majestic, artistic, they point us to God, and we give him praise and we give him thanks. There's a couple reasons I just want to share with you briefly why it's important for us to give God praise and thanks. You know, the last couple of weeks, we've had some families move away from our church. And we're not a big church. But when you have families, and especially just fantastic families, move away, it kind of hurts. Last month, we said goodbye to the Graves families. They moved to Idaho. Man, that hurt. Just great people. And then a couple days ago, I hugged Dustin and Courtney goodbye before they went to the airport. Another great couple. It hurts because we're family. And so, you know, I was moping a little bit and feeling a little down. And I kid you not, God reminded me and he said, you know, I know you're down. I know you're hurting. But why don't you spend some time thanking me for the time that you had with them? And I did. I started thinking about, you know, times I spent with Luke and Amanda and Dustin and Courtney. And it just brought back good memories. And I did. I started giving God thanks for the time that we had with them. But it's important for me to take every situation and find a way to give God thanks for his blessing us. I'll give you another example of why it's important for us to focus on praise and thanksgiving, as the scriptures tell us. 5 months from today is Christmas, 25th of July. Anyone excited for Christmas? I am. So, the ancient Israelites, as they gave God thanks, they were thanking him for what he had done in the past. Remember, God had delivered them out of captivity in Egypt. And a big part of the Thanksgiving Psalms are thanking God for his mighty acts of deliverance and in freeing them from the Pharaoh and their time of bondage in Egypt. And so they thanked God for what he had done for them in the past, which is what we need to do. They were thanking God for what he was doing in the present. He was providing their needs. He was delivering them from their enemies. But they were also looking forward to the time when God would establish his kingdom through his Messiah. Now, they never lived to see that time, but it was a source of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for what you are going to do. Now, we, on the other side of history, we look back 2,000 years, and we say, thank you, God, for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, to die on the cross to redeem humanity from our sins. We thank God for that. At Christmas time, we rejoice in the birth of the Messiah and baby Jesus. And we thank God for what he's doing here and now in our lives. He takes care of us. He provides our needs. He blesses us. But also, we are still focusing on the second coming of Christ, when Christ will return a second time, He will establish his perfect and just and righteous kingdom, where the lion will lay down with the lamb and all evildoers will be swept away and God's righteousness will be established firmly. And so it's important for us as we read and sing these psalms of thanksgiving to thank God for what he's done in the past, to thank him for what he's doing in the present, but also to remember what he has promised to do in the future. I'm remembering the story in Luke 17. Turn to Luke 17. It's a pretty fascinating story. It's the story of when Jesus cleansed and healed the 10 lepers. Let me read this to you briefly in Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy, a very highly contagious disease, they met him. And they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus healed all 10 of them, just like that, from their highly contagious disease. Pretty cool. One of them, remember there were 10. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. Verse 16 of Luke 17, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. "Thank you, Jesus. You healed me. I was this miserable leper, confined to a leper colony." Talk about social distancing. They couldn't be anywhere near anything. And Jesus healed all 10 of them. And he, the Samaritan, the enemy of the Jews, the least likely one to come back and thank Jesus, he came back, and the scriptures say, thanked Jesus. He praised Jesus for what he had done. Jesus said in verse 17, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." What an amazing story. When I mentor people in the ministry or people who are thinking about going into the ministry, I share this story with them. Because I used to think, oh man, you know, going into the ministry, people are just going to thank you. You know, they're just going to thank you for every wonderful sermon you preach and everything you do around the church. And guess what? That's not the case. You don't go into the ministry because people are going to thank you. No, just like what Jesus did here, it's a thankless calling. But that's not why we do it anyway. We do it to serve God. But the point of the story here in Luke 17 is that one did the right thing. And he was so thankful in his heart that he had to come back to Jesus and give him praise and thanks. That's why we gather for worship on Sunday morning. We think it's important to take an hour out of our week to say, "God, thank you. Thank you for healing me, saving me, providing for me, sustaining me, taking care of me, sanctifying me, or filling me with your love." That's why it's important to be a people of praise. May we never be a thankless people. The scriptures repeatedly tell us to be a people of thanksgiving. Two more important verses I want to share with you before I close. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. And they're pretty amazing words if you think about it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Remember, he's sitting in prison. It's a damp, dungy Roman prison. And he's writing these words. The Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. "I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance." Think about this. Paul is in jail, freedom taken away, he's hungry, he's thirsty, there's mice running all around the dungeon, And he says, I have learned to be content in every circumstance. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. This is the same Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. He says, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. So the Apostle Paul tells followers of Jesus, learn to give thanks in every situation. Because if you end up in a damp prison, in learning to give thanks, you will learn to be content in every situation you find yourself in. And so that, to me, is one of the most important reasons why we must be a people of thanksgiving. Because when we thank God in every circumstance, we learn to be content whatever lot we may find ourselves in life. I think it's part of why so many people are not happy or content in life. They've not learned to be thankful for what God has done for them. They've not learned to give God praise for who He is. And so the result is they're never content. They're never satisfied. They're never happy. But when we, as the Apostle Paul says, give thanks always in every situation, you will learn to be content and satisfied with where you're at in life. So, briefly, shout it out from where you're sitting. What are you thankful for this morning? Let's start over here. What are you thankful for this morning?
My car's still running.
Thank God for cars that start up when we want them to. Amen. What are you thankful for?
The joy of the Lord.
The joy of the Lord. For being here today. Incredible parents. Family. This side is much more thankful than this side. So I don't know what's wrong with you people. No, what else are you thankful for? Amen. Amen.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.